Good morning, church. Welcome to Cornerstone Fellowship Assembly of God. It's good to be with you, even though it's through this means. I know that your heart is longing to worship the Lord and to give expression of the praise and the desire and the ambition in your heart. So we're going to call you to get your kids together, bring the family around the computer, get your hearts tuned toward the Lord, and we're going to just enter into a time of worship and praise. I'm going to read from Psalm 80 from the Passion Translation of the Scriptures. It says, Lord, just singing about you makes me strong, so I'll keep shouting for joy to Jacob's God, my champion. Let the celebration begin. I will sing with drum accompaniment and with sweet sounds of the harp and the guitar strumming. Go ahead, blow the jubilee trumpet to begin the feast. Blow it before every joyous celebration and festival, for God has given us these seasons of joy. I'd like to declare today a season of joy. Would you pray with me? Let's just call on the Lord together today. Let your heart just go out to Him and begin to call on His name. Father, we come before you in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who gives us life and breath and joy and strength. And singing songs about your Son, Jesus, makes us stronger. It doesn't make you stronger. It strengthens us. So give us the Holy Spirit today. Strengthen us as we worship and as we sing our songs of praise to the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we give our praise and thanksgiving to Him, begin changing and transforming us. We ask you, Father, in Jesus' name, help us to worship Jesus as the risen Lord and Savior that He is. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you, church. Let's join in with the worship team as we sing and celebrate today.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. Worship Your holy name. Oh, my soul. no matter where we are, whether in this room or elsewhere in our homes, God, there's no place we'd rather be than in your loving arms, God. I'm ready. Hearing.
to know more of Jesus, you would like to know more about Him, you'd like to understand Him better, it's not really hard. Just call on the name of the Lord. It doesn't matter how many steps we've taken away from Him, He's only one step back when we turn around. I want to pray for you this morning. If you'd like to really reconnect with God, then why don't you pray with me? Father, I'm asking you for the son or daughter, for the person today who feels so far away from you and disconnected. Or maybe they feel lonely and afraid. And it just seems like you're so far away. I ask, Father, that as they lift up their heart, they lift up their eyes as we call on your name, that your Holy Spirit would introduce us to Jesus Christ, and that we would confess our need of Him, confess our sin, and reject the lifestyle that we had been living, so that we might find a new life in Him. Father, I ask right now that as young people, as men and women, as children, hear your voice calling their name, drawing them near, that they would begin to respond with a simple heart surrender. Father, I ask in Jesus' name that you would touch the lonely, the rejected, the disenfranchised, the prodigal, the one who feels far away from God. I ask, Lord, that you would come near and touch our hearts and heal us and restore us and save our souls. In Jesus' name we pray. And then, Lord, I pray for those who believe, but yet their courage is low, their faith is weak, and they're discouraged. I pray, Lord, today that as we look into your word, that your spirit would encourage our hearts, that you would speak again anew and afresh to us from your word. I ask today, Lord, that you would quicken us and stir our hearts and fill us with hope and faith again. In Jesus' name. God bless you. We're going to look into the scriptures here in just a moment, but I do want to just put my pastoral hat on and say that if you are feeling disconnected from people or from God, you know, we're here, and if you call, we'll answer. You call on the Lord, He'll answer. Contact us through the website or through the phone number on the website. If you know someone who's suffering from depression and anxiety, you know, reach out to them and encourage them to call, and we'd be happy, more than happy, to minister to you or to them. So I just, you know, as a pastor, one of the hardest things for me to do is to try to love and support and encourage people from a distance. I can see in my spirit us rejoicing together. I can see us embracing each other, and I can see us encouraging each other, but I certainly can't see you physically right now. But there will be a day pretty soon when we'll get back together and we'll get to worship together and we'll be able to see each other face to face. But I do just want to remind you of what Paul said, and that is that the Word of God is not chained. The Word of God can go where we cannot go right now. There's some places you can't enter unless you've got a mask on. There's some places in the past you couldn't enter if you had a mask on. It's such an amazing time that we're living in right now. But the Lord will bring us through this, and the Lord will bring us back together. and we'll fellowship together again. And I can't help but think even of loved ones who've gone on to be with the Lord. There's a reunion coming there as well, and we'll get to see them again. In fact, in many ways, that's something I'd like to talk with you about in just a few moments here. Normally, we'd take the offering right now. You can just send yours in through PayPal or through Tithely, or you can send a check in and continue to support the work and the ministry of the local church. And we just so appreciate your faithfulness. We appreciate your prayers. People have reached out to me and asked me how I'm doing, and we're doing well. We're just missing all of you, as I know that you're missing us. So the Lord bless you. We're going to look at Proverbs. In the book of Proverbs, we're going to go to chapter number 4. Proverbs chapter 4. And the book of Proverbs was instruction that was laid down by a king for his sons. Now, Solomon is credited with writing most of the Proverbs, not all of them, but most of them. And his daddy was a pretty good dad. His dad was King David. And Solomon will say many times over, that he wants his sons to learn the instructions of a father. And I think that what I have to share with you this morning, if I can just humbly say it, would be the instructions of a father. To whatever degree I would represent a father, I just want to share them with you, because fathers actually want the same thing that moms want. And we just celebrated Mother's Day, and that's for their children to know joy and freedom and life and happiness and all of the things that we have got to experience as parents ourselves. So Solomon said to his son, look, you got to understand that you are children of a king, and I want you to know that there are certain things that you need to be wise about. And one of those things is watching over our heart. That's what I want to talk about this morning, is watching over the heart. We're to watch over the heart with all diligence. Proverbs 4:23, watch over, or King James says, guard your heart. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. We're to watch like a shepherd would watch. We're to guard like a soldier would guard. Interestingly, when Jesus was born, there was shepherds, and they were keeping watch over their flocks by night. And likewise, Jesus, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he asked his friends, Peter, James, and John, could you watch with me for an hour? So watching has to do with overseeing and protecting. Watch like a shepherd over your heart. Guard it like a soldier. It's interesting that Jesus, when he had been crucified, they put his body in a tomb and then sealed it. And then they set a guard over it to watch over and to guard over that tomb. I'm not sure why they were so afraid of Jesus even when he was dead. But maybe the resurrection story kind of gives us a hint or a clue about that. During this current pandemic that we're in, emotions are running very high. And the rhetoric is filling our airways and our media of all sorts. And I believe that many of these responses actually show that we're a country, we're a people, even a world, that is grieving. And one of the stages of grief is anger, And so there's a lot of rhetoric, there's a lot of blame placing, there's a lot of people trying to find answers. And one person has a scientific theory, and another person has a different theory. And everybody's an expert today, and they're just filling the airwaves with all kinds of thoughts and reasons and rhetoric, and it causes us to understandably be confused and to be angry and to be disappointed. And I think that there's a certain amount of sorrow or grieving over lost jobs, lost wages, in some cases lost loved ones, and certainly for all of us, a loss of freedom. And especially in this country, we're freedom-loving people, and the loss of freedom is very disheartening. So I think that in one sense, we're all grieving something. But there's something else that is at play that I'd like to just touch on for a few moments, if you would. And that is that I believe that the world is at a crossroads. This crossroads event has been coming for some time. Now, I'm certain that eventually this leads to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Things are lining up and looking like, you know, that the Lord is planning on returning, even as he said he would. But this crossroads that I'm talking about today is a crossroads where we all have to make decisions about, in particular, the kind of worldview that we're going to live under. There are two conflicting worldviews that are taking place, especially in the Western culture, but certainly around the world, as our influence has gone into the world, especially since the Enlightenment and the time and the age of reason and scientific analysis began, coming out of the Dark Ages and the Enlightenment that came with all of that, which I think we should all celebrate to a certain degree. But there was not just an appeal to logic and to reason, but there was actually at the same time a letting go of a common value that much of the world held as Christendom had gone around the world after the early outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of God drove the church into the farthest parts of the world. There was much of the world had adopted a Christian worldview, but there's also a secular worldview. The secular worldview, I'm certainly not at odds with. In fact, I have a lot of compassion for people who know nothing else but a secular worldview. It's the kind of worldview that you're just kind of born with. It's the kind that we just look at hard facts and we try to determine things and we try to reason with our minds and we try to deal with hard realities. But there's another worldview, and it's a competing one. It's the Christian worldview. The Judeo-Christian value system and ethic is based not just on reason but on and not just on logic, although it's not illogical. It's based on faith. And it's based also on spiritual realities. Those spiritual realities overlap the physical world that we live in. I'm not likely to convince either side to be compassionate or to change sides, and give up their worldviews. I'm not likely to do that in a few moments. But I would want to caution you that the reason that we're so passionate about these issues is because they literally have to do with life and death. But I want to say something as someone who admittedly is in the Judeo-Christian worldview. That is my default worldview and language and lifestyle. I would like to just say that there was a time when I embraced a secular worldview. And I functioned as a practical agnostic. That is to say that I'm not saying that there wasn't a God, but if there was a God, I couldn't know him. Or maybe no one could know him. Or maybe if there was a God who created everything, perhaps he created everything and then just left us on our own and we're away from him. But when I accepted Christ as my Savior, he began to change my worldview, and I began to understand that God is not only the creator, but he's also transcendent. He's come across from his world into our world. He's done that especially through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. These two worldviews are at a crossroad, I believe, today. And I just want to say, not to point out for argument, but I just want to say that if your worldview is secular, that what we end up doing, whether we recognize it or not, we end up fearing death. It's like death is the finality. Death is the thing that stops us from living. And so we start to adopt, whether we recognize it or believe it or not, but we start to adopt a sort of live and let live and sort of a eat, drink, be merry, because tomorrow we die. And in a secular worldview, we look at how many different ways that people could die. And I'm not denying any one of them. As a matter of fact, the leading cause of death, I understand, is too many birthdays. But, you know, the truth of the matter is that even from conception, the likelihood of being born and being healthy and being alive is very small. And yet all of us have experienced that. All that are hearing my voice today have experienced being born into this world. A secular worldview begins putting limits on life because we recognize that there's a finality to it. And we want to push it out. We want to ignore it. We want to pretend like it's not going to happen, but it's still in the back of our mind. And so I would like to say that the secular worldview ends up becoming very much absorbed with death and dying. So we want the very best healthcare system, and I think we should have one. And we want doctors who can, by all means and all measures, save us from death. But in the Christian worldview, we understand through the scriptures that it has been appointed unto every man once to die, and then after that, there's a judgment. Now, that's not something to fear when Christ has become your Savior. So when Jesus has become your Savior, and I just want to encourage my brothers and sisters right now who are functioning a little bit like Christian agnostics, you know, thinking that maybe God doesn't really have his hand on what's going on in our world and our life, and maybe he's not really listening to us. I just want to encourage you and remind you that our faith begins with Jesus' resurrection. And Jesus' resurrection points to life beyond death. Death came into this world not by God's design, but by man's act of disobedience. By our willful rebellion against God and disobeying when he had commanded us things that were meant to bring us life. You know, this father's counsel was, listen to these words because they'll bring you life. I want you to hear that in the voice of God when Solomon is saying, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. Hear a father saying, I've got instruction. I know how life works. I want to show you how life works. Now, I don't believe God is judging our world right now. I don't think that at all. But I do believe that God is calling to you and to me and saying, here's a moment where we really have time to reconnect with God and to establish a Judeo-Christian worldview and ethic. And when we do, we'll find that death is not to be avoided. As a matter of fact, Jesus would be the one who points out that there is no greater love than this, than if a man were to lay down his life for his friends. And Jesus showed us that example. That's exactly what he's done for us. That's what causes a mother to perhaps run into a burning building to rescue her child. It's what causes a father to do everything possible to prevent catastrophic failure and accidents from occurring in their children's life. That's why fathers have gone off to war many times, to protect their families, to fight for something that has value, and freedom would be one of those values. I just want to tell you and remind you that in this country that we live in this country, the United States of America, we really were built on Judeo-Christian values and ethics, but we have been letting those go for a long time. And with that, every time you let them go, when you let go of a father's counsel, you start inheriting things that you didn't want. And you find yourself naked, ashamed, and alone, with nothing to show for your life. And I want to tell you that there would be people who would argue with me and say, Pastor, you haven't begun to live. And they have lived a very adventurous life and lifestyle, things I've never dreamed of. But I'm going to just tell you that in my understanding, I'm not living just for the pleasures of this moment. I'm not trying to prolong just one more minute of living life as I've been living it. I am living for an eternity. And Jesus promised me an eternity. And really what Christianity is doing, besides transforming the world one heart and life at a time, which is noble, but it's also repopulating the kingdom of God. It's repopulating what we call the new creation. It's repopulating paradise or heaven, if you will. And so what God is actually doing is taking people from this world and transforming their hearts and lives and bringing them into another world. So when you hold that worldview, you invariably will be at odds with someone who lives for the moment. When a person lives for the moment, I understand it. I did it. I've experienced that. But when you live for God, you begin to live for something bigger and something eternal and something everlasting. We begin to build for something that goes generations into generations and on even into eternity. And we turn our backs on selfishness and pride, and we call on the Lord and yield our lives to Him and begin to live for Him and for His cause. And I would like to just suggest that a part of our angst, a part of this anger, a part of this passion, a part of this rhetoric that is filling our airwaves and filling all of the media right now and is affecting government and communities and people just in their homes. It's causing families to divide and even sometimes churches to divide. What is happening is we've come to a crossroad, and I just want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, that your hope in Jesus Christ is not in vain. Hold to the Judeo-Christian value system. It will sustain you in this life, in pandemic, in storm after storm, and it will carry you into an eternal life that has no end, with the joy and the freedom of worshiping and serving our Savior, Jesus Christ, for time and for eternity. And brothers and sisters, I just want to remind you that there is a thief who wants to steal, kill, and destroy. So that's why I have to watch over my heart. Because the thief would, if he could, come in and steal my joy. He would come in if he can, and he would kill my faith if possible. He would destroy my values and everything that I stand for. The thief would come to steal, kill, and destroy. And what I mean by that is that there's spiritual entities and the adversary who would do absolutely everything he can to destroy your heart. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to repeat the wisdom of Solomon. I'm not wise like him, but I'm God-fearing like him. And I tell you, watch over your heart with all diligence, because every issue in life comes out of the heart. It's what you think on. It's what you dwell on. It's what you give your affections to. That is what makes our lives a life. And so I want to just remind you that we have this moment and we have this time. And perhaps we are at a crossroad, as I suggest. But I think it's time for us to decide which worldview we're going to adopt. We should pick one and go with that one. I urge you today, pick the Judeo-Christian value system. That's the one. That is the one that tells us where we came from and where we're headed and where we're going. And it's the one that tells us how to live. It's the one who shows us how to live our lives in our family, in our communities, in our workplace. I just want to encourage you today with every cell and every fiber of my being, I just urge you to choose today which world system, which value system you will accept and you will live by. You cannot live halfway between. That is not to say that you can't be scientific and a person of faith. I'm telling you that your faith in Jesus Christ must inform your science. Your faith in Jesus Christ must inform your logic. Your faith in Jesus Christ must inform your reason. Because if you reason without faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to start from a false starting point. And if you start at a false starting point, you'll end at a false finish. May God bless you today as you consider these words. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. Watch like a shepherd, guard like a soldier. Father, I thank you for this day and this time, this moment and this hour. And I ask there would be people right now deciding which worldview they will line up under. For Christ's sake, we pray. Amen.